Well, let's get a view on all of this, particularly the teachers to begin with Fevzi Turkup, editor of GadgetDetective.com and the host of the Gadget Detective podcast. What do you think of the impact of ChatGPT and what it might be on schools and teaching?
It's difficult. First of all, it's not a surprise that they're not prepared. ChatGPT only went public in November of last year, so it would be surprising if we knew. Part of the reason why OpenAI is called OpenAI is that it's meant to put things out there so that it sparks a debate about how we want to manage these things. There are clearly great benefits to be had from AI systems such as ChatGPT and other large language models. It will be a bit like having an expert on tap, and that will be useful for students and for teachers as well. Already the use of ChatGPT to write essays means that people may learn nothing. I liken it a little bit to when calculators came into schools back in the day, and people were worried that, you know, kids would not learn how to do basic calculations. And what was held to be true in those days was that, well, what's important is not whether you can actually do a long division sum, but whether you understand the sum that you're doing. And I think in a similar way, there is a healthy way to use a tool like ChatGPT to augment what you do as a tool, but obviously the challenge is to stop it being used or abused in such a way that the student learns nothing and still gets a passing grade.
Is there a technical way of making sure somebody hasn't cheated? That can you sort of spot the use of this thing?
Well, interestingly enough, AI programs can spot AI output. So
there you are. Yeah.
And it becomes an arms race, you know. It's just in the same way that, you know, technology is used for nefarious purposes, it's also used to catch those people, just in the way that, you know, police use technology to find cyber criminals. You know, it's cat and mouse. So this will go on, but I think the first thing that you said is spot on. Schools are not prepared for the challenges that this technology brings.
So what do they need to do, do you think?
I think it's very, very difficult, isn't it? I think that we need to have a set of robust... Well, I think two things. There has to be technology put into place, and I don't think this is at a school level. This has to be a sort of national level, that tools have to be given to examiners and graders to be able to spot AI-generated text. I also think that we probably will have to move somewhat away from continuous assessment of essays and so forth back to examinations, because it's going to be harder for people to cheat in an exam setting than it would be to get them to write the essay for them at home. So I think that it will change, and interestingly enough, that will tend probably to favor boys, because it was long since held that as we move to continuous assessment that female students did better under continuous assessment, and boys tended to do better under exam circumstances. So you may have that change as well. But yeah, I think the way that we measure knowledge will change. And then I guess at a fundamental level, we also have to ask the question, is it even necessary for people to retain and even understand certain things that we think are essential now? Maybe the nature of education has to change once we have access to these tools.
And do we even need teachers?
Well,
could you be taught by an online chatbot?
So. I mean, we're at the early stages, yes. So ChatGPT is based on a large language model called GPT-3. GPT-4 is going to come out this year and will be probably an order of magnitude better than its predecessor. I think certainly they will become our teachers. They will have knowledge. And interestingly enough, you may have heard the headline recently that said that ChatGPT was able to pass an exam that's normally sat by people who've already got a medical degree in the United States. And that was interesting. But what was also interesting about it was that the technology is now being used by the medical profession in the United States, ChatGPT, to find ways of communicating with patients in a way that they will better understand. So doctors have a propensity to use jargon, and the ChatGPT is able to convert the jargon into something that a layperson will understand. So in the same vein, I think that large language-based models could make great teachers. The problem is ChatGPT was designed to be a convincing replica of a human and its and a human conversation. It is not a search engine, despite Bing putting it in its Microsoft putting it in Bing, and it does make mistakes. And when it makes mistakes, when it says things that are actually factually incorrect, it does it with such authority that we tend to believe it. And I think that's the problem.
Well, I've come across that, because I keep reading all this stuff about it's going to replace Google and search engines, and it clearly can't, because it's not factual. I've asked it for stuff about me, and it's completely, utter rubbish. It was fake news.
Well, for one thing,
telling me I was doing drive time and I used to be a mobile DJ. And I mean, they just made this stuff up, but it reads like a biog. Like,
I know, it reads very convincingly.
It's so convincing,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
So the answer, therefore, is ChatGPT is not going to teach your children, but grandchild of ChatGPT probably will. These are very early stages, and as I said, the whole point.
But it is the future.
Yeah, the whole point of OpenAI is to trigger it. What's unfortunate is that Microsoft, having put $1 billion into OpenAI at the beginning in seed money, along with Elon Musk and others, has now put a further $10 billion in and made it a commercial product, when it is not ready to be a commercial product, and we are not ready to have it as a commercial product. So I think that it's unfortunate that Microsoft have taken the step that they have, but they saw an opportunity to try and overtake Google, because Bing has always been very much the poor relation to Google. Most people have never used Bing, and now there's a reason to use it. As a result of that, Google are now rushing out their AI, which is also not ready for prime time. And, it's not right. What should be happening is that ChatGPT should be something that we all get to play with, and then we have discussions about and try and get ready for it, as I say, to have, for example, the tools to spot essays written by it and so forth.
And every day there are more stories about AI. And so I do believe that eventually that our lives are going to be more dominated by robots and artificial intelligence. There's another one in The Guardian today. Almost 40% of domestic tasks could be done by robots within a decade. Can you see that happening as well? And could that be good? That we find boring.
I mean, it reminds me of flying cars. You know, we've had the Jetsons since the 60s, haven't we? And we still don't have. Flying cars exist, but they're not in common use. And it's very interesting when you watch science fiction. You watch things like Blade Runner, and they've got some things right and some things very wrong. And in some areas, we've done better than was predicted, and in other areas, not. And I suspect that's what will happen. Yes, certainly, I don't know if the figure's going to be 40%. It could be more, it could be less. But certainly the trend is that we will have robotic entities, you could call them devices, or could be more than a device, that will do an increasing amount of the chores. And we already see the starts of it. We see robotic vacuum cleaners, robotic lawn mowers, we have robotic arms that can prepare food. I think one of the challenges, two challenges really, the physical challenge is to have a device that can do a variety of things, just like a human made can do a variety of jobs. You need something that can do that, because otherwise you can end up with 20 devices in your home that you can't afford or have space for. There is that. And then there is the general AI that needs to go with that, so that that AI can do a variety of jobs. And the key is to do them safely in a space that's populated by humans. In a factory production line, you can set things up where the robots are tethered and the humans largely don't get in their way, and vice versa, and the number of accidents caused by robots are relatively low. But now, if you have a robot, roaming the house, you have to make sure it doesn't crush your toddler or the dog or any, or inadvertently harm somebody. And that's also a challenge, that's a bigger challenge than people realize, how to make these devices safe. Because the worst thing from a commercial point of view is having a deadly robot in the house. Very bad, very bad for business.
And I've also read about the care sector, where that it could be really useful when you can't get the people to care for people who need help, elderly people. That seems like it could be a really good use.
Yeah, I mean, that's really has to come and as soon as possible, because we have, you know, all these this perfect storm of an aging population, dare I say it, fewer people willing to do care, and some of them having had to leave the country in the last couple of years. And it's just, it's a low-paid, unforgiving job, you know, and it's exactly the sort of thing that we should look to. There are examples of this. There have been for some years in some Asian countries where, for example, they use robots to give medication, and they have these particular robots have a screen in their chest, and they what they learned was if on the screen they show a picture of that patient's loved ones, the patient is more likely to take their meds. Mm. Equally, during COVID, they were using those Boston Dynamic dogs, I think it's called Spot or whatever it's called, the dog, to triage patients, you know, to do the initial observations of patients to try and work out whether they were a COVID risk and a risk to humans. So just like we send robots in to defuse bombs, we can send them to do dangerous medical things as well. So I think, yes, that will definitely come. All of this will come. It's just a matter of timing. I think some of it will come much sooner than we think, and other bits will be a bit sticky and take longer. But it will come. And with all of this, what we're really on the cusp of a revolution now, and I don't think people really realise the effects it's going to have. We can't really control those effects, and we haven't really thought them through. And as usual, we develop a technology without, you know, I always say we are clever but not wise as a species, and we develop things because we can without really thinking through the possible ramifications.
Firstly, thank you, Fevzi Turkalp there, who's the host of the Gadget Detective podcast.